This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and the Gaz Man for the latest in local news. Tonight in the studio, a lovely full house. Paul is here.
Hello.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello.
Ian's here too.
Hi there.
And my name's Matt. Horrific laws passed fairly quietly this week have seen celebrities like Elton John and George Clooney calling for boycotts. They are so angry as the laws allow for LGBT people to be stoned to death under Sharia law. It's a place you've likely heard of, but can't quite place. It's ruled by a sultan and LGBTIQ rights are virtually unheard of. Tonight, we tiptoe secretly into the hidden world of gay life in Brunei.
So how does one remain true to themselves when observing their religion?
What spurred an Australian gay man to champion LGBTI rights in Brunei?
And how does Brunei respond to those who ruffle establishment feathers? Under a cloak of secrecy, tonight we hear from Karul, who's a young Muslim gay man living in Brunei. And to protect his identity, that's not his real name.
And Matthew Wolf, an Australian who started the Brunei Project to support LGBTI.
Hi, I'm Mamikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the Worldwide Wave.
Flashing you.
And that was Dame Shirley Bassey getting my party started, because it's my final show.
It is. Now, Paul, you've been with us since when?
September 2014.
Wow. Wow, that's a great haul. It's been great having you as a part of the show. And
thank
so
you.
For that privilege, we have given you carte blanche on the music tonight. You can
yes.
pick and choose whatever you like. And Bassey, that's a pretty good...
Yes, I like the...
Bassey, she's sassy.
Yeah. You can't beat her for a Bond theme.
No, indeed. Messages 0427 joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Message in on Facebook about the group we posted in the week out of the US where Christian groups are donating millions of dollars to anti-LGBT causes in Europe. Selena says they should be donating to poor, hungry, homeless people and building homes for people instead in the USA. We very much agree with you, Selena. Send us your messages 0427-JOY-949.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Fact.
We are in Brunei tonight following the laws that changed during the week which allow stoning of people found to be LGBT, stoning to death. It's quite horrific. In fact, Outright Action International described Brunei as, quote, the country that has the most worrisome state of rights for LGBT people in Southeast Asia.
It's hard to fathom, but they've actually deteriorated because previously it was 10 years in prison.
That's right, yeah.
And
that was
death.
That was a good thing.
That was compared to what they got coming, yes, that was a good thing.
Living conditions, as you'll hear with tonight's guest, LGBT people have to remain very secretive. There are absolutely... It's one of those countries where you look at the list of rights and there's either a green tick or a red cross. It's just all red crosses. There's not a single basic right for the LGBT community
in
Brunei.
Basically goes back to Sharia law being introduced in 2014, and they announced that it would be fully implemented over a course of three different stages.
And one of those stages seemingly quietly came through last week. It wasn't until some local activists noticed that it was scheduled to come into law that the international community became aware of it. So we've got a guest from Brunei tonight.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, Brunei made world headlines this week when it tried to quietly pass horrendous laws against its own LGBTI citizens. It's the second time that they've tried to put through these laws. Last time, the international outcry caused them to put them on hold. This time, it looks like they're a reality from tomorrow. Karul, not his real name, is a young gay man living in Brunei. He's joined by Matthew Wolfe, an Australian who is championing LGBT rights in Brunei for those that can't. We began by asking Karai what happens if someone who is gay in Brunei is found out by their family, friends, or workplace?
Well, in terms of terms, in my situation, it's mostly regarding my family and friends, and I think what will happen? Well, generally, most families would be in disgrace, especially mine. My family is not one of those people who likes gays. Actually, they despise them, bluntly.
So when you say that, Carol, what do they say or what do they do that leads you to say that?
I'm not so sure myself in that situation. It's just that it's how I've been raised. They taught me that being gay is something of a sin to in our religion, and that's something that I still kind of have, that still is lingering in my thoughts. It's probably something that I won't forget. Kind of painful in some way.
Do you have anyone that you can turn to talk about how you feel?
To an extent, I do have a few friends that knows that I am gay. And surely enough, there are professors, lecturers that I've met along the way in my life in college that are accepting of the gay community, especially in Brunei, because there's not a lot of people here who are open and willing to be themselves and the society itself being accepting to who we are.
From a society viewpoint, does that come through in, like, is that a threat of violence? Is that discrimination?
Violence is not something that I've seen most of the time. Sure, it maybe may come from as a means of punishment. However, discrimination is there in that situation. I have been discriminated a few times before in college for being gay. I have had those people who are in disgust of what I like or for who I am. But so far, I've never met any kinds of violence yet, like physical violence.
That was Karul, a young Muslim a gay man living in Brunei, speaking to us from Brunei. Coming up, we hear how a Aussie was compelled to act after learning the plight of the rainbow community in Brunei. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
Folks are not like us. They fear themselves. They murder trust. There's a shadow deep inside. There's a hole that'll eat you alive. Oh,
That was Tina Arena when You're Ready. Quite a thoughtful song if you listen to the lyrics.
Nice. Cruisy. Mm. And on your favourite playlist for your very final show with us, Paul.
It is.
Messages on air at joy.org.au. Thanks, Melina. This is disheartening to listen to this interview. I feel privileged to live in Australia with a supportive family. I hope he finds some good friends and his family become enlightened. There is a slight silver lining in the interview coming up, so stick around with that. Melina also said that Waleed Ali made an interesting observation about the Sultan of Brunei's decision on the project. He said that he is doing this to use against his own family members. Ooh.
What does that imply?
There's things going on behind the scenes that we can't see. Thanks, Melina. Our correspondent on the ground. Love it.
So, as we discovered time and time again on the World Wide Wave, religion and rainbows often don't mix. And yet, there are people all over the world who find themselves having to juggle their religion and their sexuality in their daily lives. We asked Karul, speaking from inside Brunei, how he strikes a balance between his sexuality and his religion.
Well, for me personally, I'm not saying this for everyone else in general, but for me personally, I'm not really a religious person, per se. I try to balance out in a like true appearance, like showing that I am still a Muslim. However, from what I've gone through, I've been a little bit less religious than I used to be when I was younger. Sure, people see me as being being religious, and they know that I'm gay. My friends, they can see me being religious. They can see me being gay. It's kind of how I balance it is just through appearance of itself. And trying not to get caught by my parents or my family.
So you're sort of projecting the appearance of religious normality, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just act like any other Muslim. I would say yes, in our current time, most parents are very skeptical and they're not really okay with their children being gay and all. It's because of how they were raised when they were younger. It's because they were raised through religion, and we were raised not, and in our generation, we were raised not only by religion, but also through the internet as well. And in that case, it was a little bit different for us to become more understanding, whereas parents can be a little bit more protective.
You did, Karul, though, give us a bit of a hint that at university there was more openness and more acceptance. Do you have a sense that perhaps younger generations are more accepting of sexuality?
Yes, I very much agree on that statement. And I have met the people, even the people who are younger than me, that understood understood about being gay or not being gay, being open or not. The people I've met in college and university, it seems like they're just more open-minded. They're more friendly to us.
Now, Matthew, if we could just turn to you, because you're an Australian, how did you get involved in Brunei?
Well, it was very, very unexpected, to say the least. Previously, I had never been involved in any type of human rights advocacy or activism or anything like that. And to be honest, I had never given a lot of thought to the idea of human rights or how people in other parts of the world were being denied the same rights and freedoms that I was lucky enough to enjoy. But that all changed on the 1st of May 2014. I was sitting at home, scrolling through my newsfeed, and I came across this story about Brunei and how on that very day they were implementing Sharia law. The Western media, being sort of the Western media, sensationalised the parts that were the most horrifying of Sharia law, which was in regards to how, under the new laws, gay men could be stoned to death. As a gay man myself, I was horrified that someone in Brunei, just an ordinary person like myself, could face such a terrible and unjustifiable fate. So at that point, I was sort of spurred into action, getting involved with raising awareness about Brunei. And then 1 year later, I formed the Brunei Project, which is what I'm working on now.
And what exactly does that project involve?
The Brunei Project is primarily a social media-based initiative that aims to provide a platform for the promotion of a broad range of human rights issues within Brunei. We particularly work in the absence of any active human rights advocacy groups within Brunei. We do work quite a lot collaboratively with other human rights organisations located within the region and internationally. For example, in 2016, we held Brunei's first ever International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia. It was the very first event of that kind in Brunei. And also, we've also been working collaboratively over the last couple of years with a Japanese NGO called Peace Boat, where each year we give young Bruneians the opportunity to participate in Peace Boat's Global University, which allows them the opportunity to engage with young people from across Asia on a range of social development and human rights related issues. As a very small and independent entity, the Brunei Project does rely a lot on working collaboratively with other like-minded organisations where we can draw from their skills and experience and learn and hopefully progress in what we are doing.
Carol, if I could ask you, is social media an outlet, a safe space for gay people to find other gay people?
Well, social media is a little bit scary at first when it comes, because I used to be afraid, like, if I were to find a website where I could talk to other gay people, will I get caught? Will I be in trouble? I was scared at first, but I've met a lot of gay people from Brunei through social media, and so far it seems to be a safe area for us to talk to each other and to understand how we lived our lives in this country.
And Matthew, how do you reach people? How would somebody who is LGBT find out about the Brunei Project?
Social media remains our primary method of engagement with people in Brunei. I mean, there have been recent studies that show that social media usage in Brunei is greater than anywhere else in Southeast Asia. So we focus a lot on the use of social media for reaching out to people and for engaging with the LGBT community and other people in Brunei. We have a presence on various social media and networking sites, as well as on various mobile apps. So that is the primary way that we reach out to people and get in touch with people. However, we do face a significant challenge in actually forming a real connection with the people that we are able to reach out to. Well, there is a lot of support for the messages that we're putting out there and what we are advocating. We do find that a lot of people, while they do support that, there's a real reluctance to actively get involved with the work we are doing and to become really engaged with advocacy themselves.
So that was Karul, who's a young Muslim gay man living in Brunei, speaking to us from Brunei.
Celebrities, so Elton John and George Clooney have spoken out and said people should boycott the hotels owned by the Sultan of Brunei, who has brought in these horrific laws.
Although, to be honest, it's probably going to be people like them that can boycott these hotels because they are quite posh.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there meaning in that? If there, I mean, I wouldn't stay at the Beverly Hills Hotel
or the Dorchester in London.
Yeah, there's one in Italy, Paris. They're all the top hotels. Do you think there's value in that sort of thing?
Can I be a counterpoint for once? And I would normally sort of say it doesn't make any difference. But actually, I would say, you know, I can't find how many tens of millions of followers George Clooney has, but he has tens of millions of followers. And this does matter because this is how the message gets out and gets tweeted and retweeted. And this is big business for Brunei as well. This is shaming the jurisdiction on the global stage. So I think it does make some difference.
And I think it raises awareness. I mean, even if people are never going to go to this hotel, some people, the fact that you retweet that they're more aware of it. I mean, it probably wouldn't have had as much airtime if somebody like you or me would have tweeted, ban these hotels.
You mean our Twitter following on World Wide Wave doesn't have as much pull as George Clooney?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I'm
deeply
sure.
offended.
I haven't checked lately, and it might have absolutely gone out.
If you need to say this to raise the debate and to get the profile up, I mean, I'm going to read you from what Clooney just said. He says, Brunei is a monarchy, and certainly any boycott would have little effect on changing these laws. But are we really going to help to pay for these human rights violations? So I think we have to do something, and it's difficult to know what we can do directly. This is clearly in contravention of UN Declaration of Human Rights. All sane laws would say, this is something that we need to oppose, and we need to do something. We can't just sit here.
But there are other ways of hurting the Brunei. I mean, the airline is directly owned by the Sultan, and that's probably more accessible to people.
And it is quite... it is an airline that makes quite a big business in Australia. But celebrities have spoken out against it. Any government? Have we heard of any government that have actually made a stand to say something?
I think
the Australian government hasn't yet made any sort of statement, and they haven't changed the Smart Traveller website.
Yeah, I'll give you the update from them. They had an update from a couple of days ago, and they said, yes, there are offences now in Brunei that attract the death penalty, and that includes blasphemy, sodomy, adultery, rape and murder. But we haven't changed, I'm putting the butt in there, I will admit that. We haven't changed our level of advice. Exercise normal safety precautions in Brunei, Darussalam.
Although I think I do have to contradict you. I believe the foreign minister has actually come out and made a statement about Brunei.
Well, I know the opposition foreign minister has.
But so has the coalition.
And the current foreign minister?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a start. Mm. Let's hope there's a few other countries. That slight silver lining, apart from the fact that an Aussie is starting to advocate on behalf of people who can't, I think that's fantastic. The university sector and the young people, a potential slight, very slim silver lining that there are some people who know and they don't care, they're careful. I think that's a light at the end of a very long tunnel, but gee, we've got to have some hope. We've got some more coming up with our guest Karul from speaking to us in Brunei and Matthew Wolf from the Brunei Project. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
Ich schlaf alleine ein, wach alleine auf. Und dazwischen träum ich von dir, Tag ein, Tag aus, der gleiche Tagesablauf. Ich frag mich, ob du überhaupt existierst. Doch alle sagen, dass man die besten Dinge findet, wenn man sie nicht sucht. Die Antwort auf alle Fragen, mein Hauptgewinn, ja, das bist du. Auf einmal stehst du da und lass mich an. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Alles um uns wird still, keine Menschen mehr. Und die Lichter strahlen in tausend Farben. Sag mal, spürst du das auch? Gefühle außer Plan. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Völlig abgehoben, keine Schwerkraft mehr. Nur noch du und ich und ein Lichter mehr. Und ein Lichter mehr. Gefühle außer Plan, wie in der Achterbahn. Gefühle außer Plan, wie in der Achterbahn. Das ist mein neues Ich, es strahlt in neuem Licht, so wie ein Feuerwerk zum neuen Jahr. Nur du und ich, was anderes brauch ich nicht. Wenn man dran glaubt, dann werden Träume wahr. Ja, alle sagen, dass man die besten Dinge findet, wenn man sie nicht sucht. Nach all den einsamen Jahren macht alles seinen Sinn und er bist du. Auf einmal stehst du da und lass mich an. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Alles um uns wird still, keine Menschen mehr. Und die Lichter strahlen in tausend Farben. Sag mal, spürst du das auch? Gefühle außer Plan. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn.
Helen Fischer with Achterbahn, which is roller coaster in German.
We were all singing along with that.
Dancing along. Some messages coming in on 0427 Joy 949. And Melina is back. George Clooney is awesome. Love his influence with this issue. He does make a difference. Thank you, Melina. Melina also says, thank you for doing this interview with The Australian. Sadly, within our community, people aren't accepting of gay Muslim men. There is a lot of ignorance and judgment with Islam and our own media who whips up fear and ignorance with unsubstantiated claims and no facts. This is one of your best interviews thus far. Well done. Thank you very much, Melina. Look, this is definitely a hot issue. Hoffler's coming on Facebook. My concern is these types of laws will permeate into Indonesia. They are our closest neighbours. I hadn't thought about that. Interesting. And Penny Wong has... this has come from Jenny. Jenny says Penny Wong has issued a strong statement. Fantastic interview. I'm listening in the car going home from work. Let's not forget George Clooney's wife is a highly respected human rights lawyer. Yes, she is. She's like big league on the international stage. She was representing Julian Assange at one stage. She isn't an ordinary citizen and has a positive influence along with her high-profile husband. Thank you very much, Jenny, for those messages. We've got more on Brunei.
Now, campaigning for change advocacy is always hard, and campaigning for LGBTI rights in a Muslim country brings added challenges sometimes. Doing so as a foreigner has its risks and its advantages. We asked Matthew from the Brunei Project how he has found interactions with local officials and authorities.
Unfortunately, not particularly positive. Unfortunately, human rights is something that's not particularly viewed, I guess, favourably in Brunei. There's a lot of belief that it is a Western concept and that it doesn't have the same applicability in Brunei, which is a common theme in other parts of Southeast Asia as well. So it hasn't been entirely positive. Unfortunately, since we did hold the first event to mark the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia and Biphobia in 2016, I have actually unfortunately been banned from entering Brunei. So our response from the authorities there hasn't been entirely positive.
Matt, do you wear that ban as a badge of honour?
No, I wouldn't say that. Although I did have someone comment to me once when I told them that story that it's a good sign that my message is getting noticed, or the message of the Brunei Project is getting noticed. So yes, but I wouldn't say no as a badge of honour.
Carol, perhaps the last word to you. What do you see as the future for LGBT people in Brunei?
I, for one, don't see a bright future, in my opinion, if we don't do any sort of actions that can help the LGBT community. For one, that I've experienced in that is most of us are in hiding, and most of us are still scared of what will happen next, and most of them don't know what to do while hiding. And we're basically sitting ducks in the situation until either someone comes to help us or the government starts to do something about it.
It's a very enlightening story for us here in Australia. Carol speaking to us from Brunei, and Matt from here in Australia from the Brunei Project. Thank you very much for sharing your views on World Wide Wave.
Thank you for having us, guys. It's been great talking.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Karul there, because, so as we mentioned, that's not his real name. We have changed that to protect his identity and make sure he is safe within Brunei, as safe as we can know from the outside. As I mentioned before, it's great that there is an Australian who is speaking up and helping out, but it's always hard. You're long distance. It was interesting the things he was saying about social media, how at first he wasn't really sure if it was a safe space. You know, I guess we take that for granted that you can find communities and find like-minded people on you know, various social medias, but that's not always the case in countries like this.
Well, you have to be careful too. We're just thinking of China. They basically police their social media. I'm sure it's the same as happening in the Middle East and Brunei.
A question come in from Jenny, a follow-up question for the panel. Would you still travel to Brunei even as a stopover destination as a result of this?
No, I wouldn't. No.
And I don't travel to Dubai or any place either. So
is that a principled choice?
Yes.
Is that you've made that as a decision?
Yes.
Well, good on you, Steph, because I think that's about being consistent. I mean, we can say one thing about the popular thing in the media at the time, but if you look at other countries that, you know, if you go to Dubai, if you're living with HIV, you'll be kicked out of the country. They have many parallel laws in other countries that you might stop over in. So you think you need to be consistent, and that's exactly what we need to do.
The counter argument to that that's often made is that it can actually hurt. Tourism is a great employer of people who are, you know, challenged in the society. So are you hurting people might be helping?
I think there's a kind of argument to that in terms of, you know, if you're putting yourself at risk, though, by being a tourist there, and as much as you want to help, if you're not going to make it back home, it's really, I think it's about taking, you know, it's about looking at the risk. I mean, would you be a tourist in Russia? Would you be a tourist in Brunei? I probably wouldn't feel comfortable, and not places I would want to go to.
Is that, I mean, Karul was talking there about being in hiding. Do we all sort of go into hiding a bit when we're in a country where, you know, we don't feel safe, or where homosexuality is illegal? Do we sort of put on our own mask and play the dutiful tourist?
Well, to stay safe, you would have to, wouldn't you? You couldn't have any displays. You probably couldn't share a bed in the hotel if it's policed the way. So it's kind of looking after your safety. And yes, the money can help. And I think there's places like, I mean, if you go to Bali, it's probably different than the rest of Indonesia. And it's probably all right to be a tourist there. But Brunei, I would say no.
I can't help the thing that's sort of sticking in my mind after hearing the interview is that Karul was saying that there's not really any violence against LGBT people. There's discrimination, but not out-and-out violence. But this is the most violent of punishments that's coming in, stoning to death. So we wish all of our LGBT family in Brunei the best wishes. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Max from Amnesty International speaking from Ukraine on the World Wide Wave.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, Karul from Brunei and Matthew Wolf from the Brunei Project.
We'd love to say thank you to all the messages that come in. So on Facebook, there was Selena, William, Kim, Craig, and a heap more, and also the ones on SMS and email.
Selena, and Jenny, and there was somebody else too I've forgotten, sorry.
Thank you for all that interaction. That was super. Behind the scenes, our podcaster Alex and our social media master Dean.
And a very special thank you to Paul, who's been our panellist, music selector, who has heavily favoured Eurovision songs over the years, but you're leaving us tonight. You'll always be welcome back here, and in fact, we're going to rope you back in for the Eurovision show because you know more than I do.
And I think I'm being dragged back in June as well because certain people are going away, I believe.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
So I'm going to be a stand-in.
Stick around on Joy all night, but we need, you've got Triple Bypass at 9 local routes at 10 and been there, done that.
to take you to sleep at 11.
And some more music.
Some more music. What will you be? What's your final song here?
You know, it all started basically with Austria and the Eurovision, and I couldn't think of a better way to end it with Conchita.
Conchita, of course.
And one of her songs, Other Side of Me.
We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Tonight I'm gonna go where I wanna, say what I wanna, be who I want to. Tonight you're gonna see for the first time, see what I'm made of, hear what I have to say. Don't want you to let go of me, but try to see the other side of me. I'm moving in a different way, but I still need you here. You're gonna see like a star, I'm shining. I'm right where I belong, but I'm scared to my bones. Don't blame me, just hold me, 'cause you know you have to set me free. I just hope you never leave me. Oh, I just wanted you to see the other side of me. The days that try to stop me from thinking, keep me from getting closer to knowing. I guess I wasn't all that easy to cope with, open to talk to, funny to be around. Don't want you to let go of me, but try to see the other side of me. I'm moving in a different way, but I still need you here. Tonight you're gonna see
for listening to another podcast of the Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.